Let me tell you why this particular gospel reading makes me feel, I don't know, a little self-conscious, a little nervous. This is how it starts. Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, who are greeted with signs of respect." Well, a lot of you call me pastor. I think it's a sign of respect. I don't know. They get the best seats in the synagogue. Oh, by the way, I learned last week there are some churches that put out a bid for the front seat at church for fundraiser. That's a money loser. So, yeah, this makes me feel a little self-conscious. And I got to tell you, this story has always filled me with a combination of a sense of awe and also a feeling that I could just never quite measure up. Because the deal is, I cannot imagine giving away my last cent. I can't imagine doing that. Now, part of us, when we hear the story, we want to believe that the story is about money. But what it's really about is how hard it is to trust God to be God, because deep down in our socks, we want that job. Few of us are bold enough, of course, to say we want to be God, so we don't call it that. We do other things. We try instead to be in control of a lot of stuff, particularly things we can't control. Now, this is a powerful, powerful story. Now, a number of years ago, Elaine Fritz, a longtime member here, who sadly died a few years ago, where'd you go again? Her daughter Nicole was with us. Some of you may have known Nikki, which you were Nikki when you were about 8, okay? And she was about 4 feet tall. Elaine grew up in Milwaukee at a church, 35th and Garfield. And from time to time, she'd go worship there. And as you know, 35th and Garfield is a desperately poor part of the city. And Elaine said she was there one Sunday in worship, and it was time for the offering. And there's a woman sitting next to her, an older woman, and as the plate's coming, she's frantically rustling through her purse. And she's picking things out, and as the offering plate gets closer, she gets frantic, and she just dumps it out on the pew. And there's all the typical debris, old Kleenex, cough drops, you know, the makeup stuff, everything but furniture. And in all that mess, it was 35 cents. And this woman picked out the 35 cents, all the money she had. And Elaine said, "I never ever thought I would get to see a parable actually happen." This woman had not only given away all her money, she let go of what little control she had left. Now, we hear stories like this, and the guilty part of us, the part that Luther likes to call the old Adam, which, as you may recall, is kind of like our inner two-year-old during the fight. Our old Adam wants to latch on to this at the point of guilt, pointing out what we won't do or what we're not willing to do in order to make us feel guilty and to drive us further from God. But that's not what this is about. This is where literalism works against us. God does not want us to give our last dollar, our last dime, our last cent. Jesus is not contrasting wealth and poverty. He is comparing pride versus humility. Arrogance and self-reliance versus trust. So Jesus was comparing the religious elite, who honestly believed that God wanted long, ponderous prayers, that God wanted sacrifices that actually cost a lot of money, and the observance of holidays and so forth. And Jesus looked at them and said to his disciples, "Watch out, fellas, it's a sham. It's all for show. They do it all for appearances." The widow, he said, showed true faith. Because this widow, she couldn't afford any of the required sacrifice for the temple. She couldn't afford the price of the individuals. But she trusted God to accept her, to love her anyway, even though she couldn't fulfill all of the human being rules. So who were the scribes trusted? Well, their performance, their position, their ability to do what they were sure was right, not to mention their ability to afford the various sacrifices the temple required. So in the end, are they trusting God or are they trusting themselves? Well, clearly themselves. And the widow who gave her last cents, who was she trusting? Or the woman who emptied her purse and waded through the debris and found her last 35 cents? I don't think it was pride. You've seen this. Maybe you've been there. I remember years ago when we were living on next to nothing, feeling sometimes almost ashamed that what we had to give was so meager, so little. You know, the feeling where you don't even want anybody else to see. Not because we're cheap, but because we just don't have much. So those women, the widow, the woman of Reformation, what do they trust? Themselves or God? That is what this comparison is about. Now, of course, this story is not just about a couple of people who lived 2,000 years ago. It is very much about us. The hard question for us to wrestle with is, which one are we more like? The scribes, those who relied on themselves, or the widow, who gave all she had? Now, as you can imagine, by the way, this is a footnote. Okay? As you can imagine, over the years, I have heard a number of people of means who are far from poor, use this particular passage to justify being really cheap when it comes to supporting God's work. And they will say, well, Jesus said the one who gave two pennies gave more than the rich. No, thanks for playing wrong answer. But that just was to show what we can try to prove if we take pieces of scripture out of context. And again, that's not what this is about at all. True faith is not about public prayers or religious requirements and rituals. It's not about coming here and repeating words. Anybody can do that without their hearts being beating. True faith is about trusting God to love us, to forgive us, to always take that back. I don't know if you heard our children this morning. They know that. And so please. What did God do, I ask them? What does God do? First answer, God always loves us. Wow. But as we get older, we confuse things. So when we hear the story, part of us does like to pretend that it's about money, because then our old sinful self can come out with all the old excuses about keeping the stuff we have. But it's not about money. It's about who and what we trust. So, maybe it is about money. Is it about God? Do we trust God or do we trust ourselves? Do we rely on our ability to fulfill all the requirements in order to receive God's love? Or, like the widow, do we rely on God's grace? If it's about following rules, if it's about our performance, then God can pretty much be bought. God can be placated. We do A, God does B. But if it's about trusting God, then we realize we have already been paid for. God has already bought us in Christ and set us free to live with gratitude and joy and purpose. Now, here's where we have a hard time with this. The world we live in isn't like that at all. The world we live in teaches us to trust ourselves first. We work hard for what we have. It's a world where appearances matter. Success is measured by how much we have, how popular we are, and how far up the ladder we climb. Nobody's going to do that for us. If we want something, we need to do it ourselves. So if that's how we live most of our lives, it's hard to understand that God would work any differently. If that's how life is when we hear about trusting God, we may not even know what it means to trust God. See, the deal is, it has become so normal for us in this time to have so much control over so many things that at many levels it feels like we don't need God. And a lot of times that is. until our power, our ability, our self-determination don't work. When people we love are dying, when the one you love does not love you back, when we are disappointed with others, when we have become a disappointment to others, or a disappointment to ourselves, when our power to fix things, when all of our attempts and solutions don't work anymore, then we realize, I really am out of control. The truth is, we have two lists in our lives. One list is the things we can control. The other list is the things we can't. The list of things we can control is really quite short. The list of things we cannot control is much, much longer. Where we get confused is by wasting time and energy on the things we can't change, the things we can't control. And we generally do that at the expense of the things we can. That's where we get stuck. That's what it's like to pretend we are God in our lives. Now, of course, trusting God does not mean God will do for us what we should do for ourselves. Sorry to say, God is not going shopping for us. God is not doing the dishes. God is not making us perform well on a test, even if we don't study. That part is up to us, along with cleaning the house and changing diapers. What God does is the part we can't. God forgives us. God promises to love us all with well condition. God sets us free from ourselves. God takes us past the limits of what we see and what we know in the here and now. God raises us beyond the immediacy of our pain and our isolation, our fear. And God promises to stay with us always, to fill us with peace, to lead us to the place of the heart we need to be. Not to fix things or to give us our next meal, but to be the light for the darkness, the guide for our path. So no matter where we are, we will never be lost. It's not up to us.